I grew up in California, and yeah, thank you. One fan of California. Okay, there we go, there's more, all right. I was used to earthquakes. You know, you grow up here, you kind of get used to them. But it was in 1989 that I experienced my first really big one. Anybody around here at that time? Okay, yeah, so it was big. You could see the earth moving for 15 seconds. It was called the Loma Prieta earthquake, and it struck right before Game 3 of the World Series. That was the Giants and the A's. I mean, like, I think God was trying to say something, really, but I don't remember who won that series. I don't think it was the A's. Yes, they're my favorite. Okay, so I was driving up my street, and my dad had told me that that if you get a flat tire, your car will rock. So I felt my car rocking, and I stopped in the middle of the street, and my car kept rocking. And I thought, I don't think it should be rocking still. And then I saw people come out of their houses, and and I realized we're having an earthquake. So this time, usually earthquakes are no big deal, but this time the damage was minimal for Dublin, but it was really unfamiliar because we have felt it all the way out in Dublin to this extent. This time Dublin lost power for 24 hours. We lost some shingles off our roof, our tiles cracked off our pool. Stores were closed, and a friend's restaurant had to close down, and all their food went bad because they had no power. It was a bigger deal than I realized. We also heard about the deaths, and major transportation ways were collapsed. I mean, it was bad. There were fires. What we realized in the weeks that followed was that the Bay Area was not quite as ready for an emergency as we thought we were. So in 2006, Nate, my husband over there, and Davis, raise your hand. He was 4 at the time. We moved to Oakland to live with another couple for work. And the week after we signed that lease, we found out we were pregnant with Sean. Sean, raise your hand. Okay. And so I started feeling a little bit more, you know, motherly, or those senses of like, I have responsibilities here. And we moved into a house in Oakland that was right on the Hayward Fault. And we felt those tremors all the time. There were other things that were challenging about where we lived, but the tremors were really disorienting to me because I had these little guys that I was supposed to be taking care of. So that was the first time I made my adult emergency kit, which I brought, and I'm very proud of. I think I got the bag from, it was either one of Nate's, look, there's dog hair and stuff on it. My first emergency kit, I put it all together, and then I didn't look at it for a while. So, do you guys have emergency kits? Okay, yeah, kind of? Okay, some people keep them in their car, this one's in our closet. At the time when my kids were little, I kept it next to the door, and what was important to have was to make sure we had diapers and wipes and binkies and comfort objects. But we also have, you know, like, I haven't looked at this while, we have masks, face masks, okay, I have gloves, I have those shiny blankets, emergency blankets, first aid kit, lots of Band-Aids. I should probably check because we go through Band-Aids really fast, and sometimes we do emergency Band-Aid. I got duct tape in here. Okay, my point is, I made my first emergency kit, and I was very proud of it, and then I didn't look at it for probably another 10 years. I cleaned it out recently. Yeah, I cleaned it out recently, and I found that there were diapers in there, there were wipes, there were expired batteries, there was water, and granola bars that, I mean, you probably could eat in an emergency, but who really is going to want to? I realized I needed to get better about keeping in touch with my emergency kit. So why am I talking about this today? Today, we are talking about Jeremiah 50:51, which is all about the destruction of Babylon. I mean, there is carnage, as you heard a taste of this morning, but there is carnage all over Jeremiah 50:51. And the one thing that God continues to say to his people in that passage is, flee, Run for your lives. Get out while you can. Run. Over and over and over, God is saying, flee. So I wanted to give us a chance today to consider, are we ready to run? So I'm going to have you turn to your neighbor, and I want you to ask them, if the house was burning down, what would be the three things you would grab to take with you? All right. If the house is burning down, what three things can you carry and take with you? We'll assume family members can carry themselves. Okay, if the other person hasn't shared, make sure the other person shares. It's a good exercise. Okay. This is an opportunity to tell on the person that you sat with. So is there something that you found interesting? So we'll say what's interesting. Something that you heard that surprised you or that made you think differently, like, oh, gosh, I should probably grab that, too. That's a good idea. Anything? I know you guys heard things. There were laughter.
Photo albums.
Photo albums, absolutely. It does make you wonder, where are all the photo albums? Good job. Good job.
That's right.
Of course, with you in her hand, she couldn't bring anything else, so hopefully you grabbed some things. Anyone over here? Something interesting? Keys? Whatever. Yes, exactly. Absolutely. You got to make sure that there are a few things. Did anybody say shoes? Right? Because we always assume an emergency is going to happen when we're wide awake with our shoes on. No. Okay. Anything else over here? Anything interesting? Thank you. I was hoping somebody would grab Harvey. I was thinking, this is my mom and dad, by the way, Ted and Carol. Okay. The benefit of this exercise is to help you understand what's important to you. It's to give you a chance to think about it. It gives you a chance to consider, maybe I would have grabbed something differently. Honestly, when I've done this before, there are a number of times where I hear other people's things, I was like, oh yeah, I should have grabbed those things. Right? Those are the things that as you talk about them or as you ask the person, why would you grab that? You start to consider, oh, that actually might be important, like my phone, so I can call emergency services or... You know, I have I have two emergency radios, and you can crank them and attach them to your cell phones probably 12 years ago. You probably can't attach it to anything anymore. They don't make them. So most of Jared's messages, you know, are kind of bad news. It kind of goes from bad to worse. It was not easy being a prophet in the Bible. Here, Jeremiah starts to deliver some good news, maybe bad news for the Babylonians, but good news for the people of Judah. This nation, which God used to execute judgment on Israel, on Judah, will also be judged. They're not going to get away with it. Jeremiah says, God is carrying you into exile, but in just 70 years, Babylon will also be judged. You, Judah, have broken your covenant with me. You've sinned. But Babylon has sinned too. They will be judged for their corrupt leaders, arrogance, pride, and nationalism, for their glorification of wealth and war, and for the rampant injustice on the most vulnerable of people, the widows, the orphans, and the immigrants. Jeremiah 50 and 51 waxes poetically. Please take time to read it if you want to. But waxes poetically for about 100 verses on the total annihilation and destruction of a nation. I mean, it's not a little thing. God, this is good news for us because God is telling us that evil does not go unpunished. But Babylon's judgment also represents something bigger. Throughout Scripture, we see that Babylon is used to remind the people that there is a way that we live that is not glorifying to God and that will be judged. It's a warning to all the nations today, to us today, that evil will not win, and this is good news. In chapter 50, verse 45, God says, "In those days, at that time, the people will go in tears and seek the Lord, their God. They will ask the way to Zion, their spiritual home, and turn their faces towards it. They will come and bind themselves to the Lord in an everlasting covenant that will not be forgotten." It says that in verses 4 and 5. Then he goes on to say in verse 8, "Flee, leave Babylon, leave the land of the Babylonians." He says in chapter 51, verse 6, "Flee from Babylon, run for your lives." I just think, like, I see that, I imagine that in a movie. I do not imagine that in Scripture. "Run for your lives. Do not be destroyed because of her sins." Do not be destroyed because of Babylon's sins. Again, in verse 45, "Come out of her, my people." He's pleading with his people. "Run for your lives. Run from the fierce anger of the Lord." So they hear us. And I hear this, and we hear this today, and I wonder, did they start packing an emergency kit? What would they pack? How would they prepare? Better yet, why didn't they just hunker down and ride out the next 70 years in Babylon? Why not just build a little commune and keep ourselves safe and protected while we're waiting the 70 years out of exile before we go in? Well, we know that this might be a temptation, but we also know that at the same time that they were hearing this, they were also hearing Jeremiah 29. Similar or familiar to many folks, "For I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, for hope. But this is how I want you to live, my people, for the next 70 years of exile. I want you to build houses. I want you to plant gardens. I want you to eat, marry, have children, find wives for your children, find husbands for your children. This sounds like the stuff of life that we live every day. We're just trying to get by." God says to increase, to not decrease, which I thought was interesting. It's not just about increasing, but he's actually giving us a warning. Don't just hold up. Don't just decrease. "And seek the welfare of the city that you are in." So I think this answers for us why we can't just hunker down and build our commune, because I promise you I've thought about this a number of times. I even tried gardening. I'm not very good at it. But we need to remember that we are in exile and that the home that we have is not our home. It's not our forever home if we even realize that we're in exile, right? So sometimes it's even easy to forget that the country that we have, California, this place that I love, in Dublin, in the United States, is not my forever home. It will be judged. So God actually tells us to go ahead and seek the welfare of where you are. That's the word that is used in the Scripture is for the word for shalom. How do we seek peace? Sometimes it's hard enough for us to even seek peace inside our own families. Okay, so, but God is saying, seek the peace, seek the welfare of the communities that you live in. He doesn't want us to hide from the sin around us, but he wants us to live in it in a particular way. Where we are. So we're here, we're in Livermore, we're in California, we're in the United States. He wants us to live like he's coming back, and to usher in just a taste of what it is to be part of God's good kingdom. But again, like my emergency kit, there is something about the day-to-day living, right? I didn't have any emergencies. There were no major disasters. And I kind of forgot about my kit. My kids are clearly not in diapers anymore, nor do they need binkies or comfort objects, except for maybe video games. Okay, so, and I'm not packing that in the emergency kit, I'm just telling you now. When years go by without an emergency, we neglect our perspective of what is to come. And just like Babylon, Judah had corrupt leaders, idolatry, rampant injustice, living in Babylon so long, we just might forget. We may tell ourselves stories of our successes and our triumphs, and that allays our fears. It makes us feel like actually we're on an upward trend. Exile doesn't feel quite so bad. But Jeremiah 50 and 51 tells us to flee, run for your lives. Like, this isn't going away, friends. He wants us to be ready to go. He's telling them before the 70 years are up to get ready. That's the tension that we live with, right? The now and the not yet. So what we're going to do is we're going to talk about our kingdom preparedness kit. Before I do, let me say this. This is a spiritual discipline that I'm proposing today. So I'm asking you to consider doing this and to not just do it today, but to consider doing it on a more regular basis. What is in your kingdom preparedness kit? It is going to be our liturgy. A liturgy is the way that we respond communally, and it's kind of our participation in responding to what we hear from God today. So I want you individually, but together, we're going to respond to God about what we're hearing, but we're doing it together. And in that way, our community is actually preparing for the coming of the kingdom. So there are things we need to pack in our kit. There are also things that we need to unpack, like I don't need a blankie anymore. I had packed some blankies, and like I said, those diapers and binkies, they weren't necessary anymore. My old batteries that aren't going to work, they're not necessary. I need to unpack those things. But there are things that I need to make sure that I put in my kit. I'm suggesting today that we pack things in our kingdom preparedness kit that will help, that will be at home in the kingdom of God. What can we put in there that we know the way that God is calling us to live? What can we put in there that helps us know what the kingdom of God is going to be like? That we know that when we get there, Harvey will be there, my dog. I don't know if dogs go to heaven. That's irrelevant. But the point is, I love my dog, and I invest in him, and I hope that I see him in heaven one day. I am also suggesting that we unpack those things that weigh us down and make it difficult for us to flee, right? There are things that we hold on to that we can't carry out the door with us. So the things that are at home in the kingdom, those are the things that you are building, that you are planting, that you're investing in, that will help you seek the welfare of the city. And maybe today you're sitting here going, I'm ready to bolt. I'm ready, let's go. I have no investments here. I'm ready to flee. My question to you is, what do you need to pack? How do you seek the welfare of where God has you today? What do you want to build and plant and increase? We can volunteer for those who are the most vulnerable. You can carry a list on you of what accessible resources there are in your community. You can vote and choose to vote mindfully about the challenges that that we are facing. You can share food together, you can apologize. That's one thing we pack an awful lot in our family. We can be gracious and kind even when somebody else doesn't deserve it, or it's not required, or nobody's looking. We can choose to be gracious. Those are things that we can pack that will be at home in the kingdom of God. Now, those things that are too heavy to carry, that I need to unpack, I need to consider, am I building a kingdom around me? I used to joke when I was in college, when I'd catch myself being a little self-absorbed, and I'd say to my friend, I'm the queen in my world, and in my world, and I would, you know, just rotate it around me because I clearly was thinking that everything had to do with me and what I thought. So am I building a kingdom around myself and not looking for the kingdom of God? Am I investing, or am I planting my roots in a way that it will be hard to remove them from the soil? Am I investing in escapism rather than joy? Are there ways that I'm seeking to just ignore the challenging things in my life and not seek the joy that actually God has for me? So if you're thinking today, I never thought about leaving, this is the only home I know and I have no plans to go, then you need to remember today that God says, flee, run for your lives. What can you pack today as a reminder that all of this is temporary? This church, this building, our bodies, this country is temporary. We should invest in it and build and plant, and yet we should also be ready to see that there is something else coming. So working on this talk, I had to consider for myself, what would I pack, what would I unpack, because it's not fair for me to ask you guys and not do it myself. And I started thinking about work, because that's probably where I spend most of my time during the day, and I thought, am I trying to build my own little empire at work? Right now, I've gotten a lot of good credibility. People like me. I've done well on some projects. There's getting to be a little buzz, and I could foster that, right? I could just stir it up and only do things that I'm going to be fantastic at. I could work to be indispensable and to make myself look good and to blame any losses on the organizational failures that feel so very evident to me and my colleagues. Those are the things that I do not want to pack. I got to unpack that if that's what I'm doing. And I asked myself, because we were starting to enter into some meetings, and I thought, how do I want to invest in InterVarsity? Because I don't want to create a kingdom of InterVarsity, I promise you. And it can swirl its little self into its own little kingdom very quickly. We're good at that, building Babylon's towers to ourselves. So I thought, what can I do differently to choose to invest? How am I packing my kingdom emergency kit? And I realized I need to make sure that the others in my group are being recognized for their contributions. Flat out, plain and simple. I want to make sure that nobody thinks that what I did alone. I want to grieve for our organizational failures and then speak the truth in love when the opportunity arises. So I don't want to just like judge my organization, though believe me, there's things that they aren't perfect. And it would be very easy to do that, but really, can't I enter into the grief that God has for when we fail and hope and pray and speak the truth in love? Like I said, I grew up with earthquakes. I'm not scared of them. I think tornadoes and hurricanes are much more terrifying, and we're hearing about that, right? I mean, what's going on in North Carolina, there are deaths, there's flooding. I don't know if you know either, but there was a huge super typhoon that swept the Philippines. I think 60 dead, that's about to hit China as well. And I'm not as afraid as, I mean, we were talking about this and I'm like, I'm not really as afraid as I probably should be, but maybe I shouldn't be, I don't know. But the point is, I grew up here and I'm very comfortable here and I'm happy for it to be my home. It's easy for me to not be ready to flee. I think California's pretty great. We can go skiing, we can go to the beach. The cost of living is horrible, but we live with my parents, so they make it manageable. The covenant that we begin when we enter into relationship with God, when we give our life to Him, it actually demands that we remember that this great state and this country will end. It will be gone and it will be judged. Its leaders will be judged. We will be judged for how we treat the most vulnerable. But He's asking us to live today in another way. He's asking us to live in a way that shares a brief, even temporal glimpse of what it is to be part of the kingdom of God. We can make our kingdom readiness kits as a means to remember what you've heard in Jeremiah. You guys have had the privilege of sitting in 51 chapters of Jeremiah. How long has it been? Like 2 months? January. Okay, can't even remember when you started it, right? You've had the privilege of sitting now. Don't leave Jeremiah without remembering something. And if you don't remember anything else, remember to flee for your lives. To not be dragged in to the temptation of sin that is all around us, but also to not hide. Invest in the welfare of your city. This is our spiritual act of worship. This is our spiritual discipline. A good friend of mine who moved from, we chat every time we speak at churches, and she was telling me, or I was asking her about this, what would you leave? What would you pack? What would you unpack? And we started talking about emergency kits. She moved from Texas, which I find scary in and of itself. She moved from Texas to Berkeley, very close to the fault line, right? So she's feeling the earthquake. She's got two littles. And one of the things that she called me back the next night and said, I hang a bag, a plastic bag, with my tennis shoes at the end of my bed so that I can just grab them and go if we need to get out of the house. And she said, as I was thinking about that, as I went to bed tonight and I looked at it, she goes, that's kind of like a spiritual discipline. She's like, I realize that every time I see that bag, I prepare myself for an emergency, not to live with anxiety, but just to recognize that she needs to be ready to flee. Is there a way that we can prepare something? So I really wanted to bring each of you like a little kingdom preparedness kit. Like I looked up plastic bags online. I wanted to have this thing and then you could see through it and you could put scriptures in there. And I thought, oh, that would be so awesome and cute. And I couldn't make it happen. They only sell them in like quantities of 1,000. I was not going to buy 1,000. Maybe I should have bigger faith. So, but I trust that you all are more creative than I am, because that is part of being God's creation, is that we get to act like God. We get to be like God. As we are created like him, we too can create. So I'm trusting you all to figure out a way to put something at the end of your bed or wherever it is that you're going to see it to remind you that this home is temporary and that we need to be ready to flee. What do you need to pack and unpack to be ready? What's important to you, and what choices do you want to make to be ready? I'm going to pray to close us. God, I thank you for the opportunity to be here today, to be together, for breakfast, for the friends that I've already made, for the hope that you give us in knowing that we are not alone and that our that the body of Christ is bigger than us individually. Pray that you would help us to know what it is that you are calling us to, that you would help us to remember to flee, to remember to be ready, and to consider what it is to invest today. We give this day and the rest of this week to you and ask for your mercy in all that we do. Amen.